Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, and Father, that we can learn and gain knowledge and truth of thy word, to be better equipped, Father, to help others to come from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, once again, I'm asking for that healing touch for Pastor Kenny and his foot and that fever to be healed, to leave him and leave him whole, Father. And we're claiming this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be this morning in the book, well, actually, it's a letter and a short one, only one chapter, and that's Philemon. Some calls it Philemon, but the way they break it down, it's Philemon. Me, but however you want to pronounce it. Anyway, that's where we'll be. There's only one chapter to it, and it's 25 verses. A lot of them are short. So you'll see what God's got for us this morning. Well, let's begin here with verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow labor, to our beloved Anthesia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that a prisoner of Jesus Christ, the phrase found nowhere else, shows that Paul did not look on himself merely as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. His witness to Christ in prison made him a prisoner. His, our dearly beloved fellow laborer, tells us all we know about Philemon, that he was dear to Paul. He considered him a valued co-worker in the ministry. And Aphilia is probably Philemon's wife. And Archippus may have been Philemon's son, but was more likely the minister of the church in thy house. The earliest churches met in homes. Christian church buildings were unknown until the 3rd century. And Philemon is probably one of the wealthier church members, since it met in his house and since he was a slave owner. 3. When we look at that one, the salutation, almost identical to other Pauline greetings, expresses a beautiful connection between two great works of God. Grace, grace are his undeserved favor, which is intimately associated with peace. The settled confidence that comes from being right with God. Now, as we go to 4, Paul says, I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayer. Paul always opens his letters with a word of thanksgiving. Now, 5, hearing of my love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the vows of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You see, Paul's calling him brother. Now, and really, with both being the children of God, then that would be true. He would be. They would be brothers, just as we are. If you are born again child of God, then we are brothers and sisters with all other Christian beings. That is true, true Christian. Now, 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee, that which is convenient. Paul's request that Philemon, or Philemon, take back Onesimus has a connection of brotherly persuasion rather than a formal appeal to apostolic authority. Onesimus is now both a son to Paul and a brother to Philemon. though he possessed no legal rights in the Roman world. Onesimus, the slave, was now on an equal spiritual plane with both his owner and the Apostle Paul. Now, you see, when he became that child of God, that put him equal with the one that actually owned him, and Paul, the Apostle. Now, 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul's still in jail, or penitentiary, whichever one you want to call it. Anyway, he's still locked up. And he goes on, still saying that he's also the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, he is, because his belief in Jesus and his teaching the gospel, and he won't change, is why he's in prison. 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, 11. Which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Onesimus means useful. Through a clever wordplay, Paul is saying Onesimus was useless to you in the past, but in the future he will live up to his name. Now, 12. Whom I have sent again, now therefore receive him that is my own bowels, his own son, as he claims it, because he's calling him his son because of the Spirit. He is a spiritual son, not blood. Now, 13. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me to the bonds of the gospel. 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Paul might have exploited his brotherly relationship with Philemon to request that Onesimus remain with him as a helper, and he could not take advantage of Philemon in his way. Now, 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul's appeal that Philemon receive the runaway slave is well stated here. Onesimus has a new relationship with Philemon as a brother in the Lord, whether Philemon subsequently freed Onesimus is not known. but certainly Paul's statements imply that slavery is incompatible with Christian teaching. In the Bible, slavery is usually viewed as an existing social and economic practice. Like divorce, it is tolerated, but consistent application of Christian theology leads to the abolish or discouragement of both. To either abolish it or discourage. Now, If thou count me therefore a partner, to see him as myself. Paul's really reaching out for him. And he's asking Philemon to accept him as he would accept Paul himself. In 18, if he had wronged thee or owed thee, I'll put that on my account. Paul says, if he's wronged you or he owes you anything, put that on my account. I'll take care of that. 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. Now, you see, Onesimus' crime is not mentioned, but probably it was stealing from his master. And Paul writes to put that on his own account using a current bookkeeping term in Greek. Now, as we go into 20 here, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Now, you see, there's a lot in this small letter to Philemon, and most of it is all really for Philemon to get use of one he had as a slave, but now would work with him and for him a lot better since he had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and changed his life. Now 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He's letting them know that he'll do more than he says. And 22, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that though through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Paul saying, prepare me also a lodging, reflects both Philemon's financial status and Paul's confidence that he would be released from prison. It may also be a subtle encouragement that Philemon should fulfill Paul's request. Now, 23. There salute thee Epirias, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Hortatius, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. this list of people is almost identical with that in Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Only one name is missing here. It is another proof of how closely related these two epistles are. And he ends this letter to Philemon, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Now, we have finished with this letter of Philemon. We're going to be going in to the book of Hebrews. We find that the book of Hebrews has got an awful lot of information in that should be in our lives. And we'll probably find some things that we have missing that after this study, as we go through it, we should be able to get accomplished and put within our lives. Now, one of the greatest mysteries surrounding the book of Hebrews concerns its authorship. The strongest argument for Pauline authorship of this epistle involves the ancient tradition of the church as early as the second century. Paul was regarded in the East as the author, and during the third century, his authorship was the accepted view in the West, where the epistle was known from earliest times. Pauline authorship was rejected and did not gain general acceptance until the fourth century. Yet the strongest argument against Pauline authorship is found within the epistle itself. In chapter 2 and verse 3, the author regards himself as one whose knowledge of Christ was secondhand. By contrast, Paul declares that his apostleship and message were directly from Jesus Christ. Now, some of the others that had been suggested for author was Luke, Barnabas, Silas, and Apollos. And also, there were some that spoke for Lucan and his second-hand knowledge of Jesus. But whoever the author really is, was really used by the Holy Spirit, guiding him and speaking through him to you and I, even unto this day, letting us know a lot of things that the other epistles did not have. Now, it had a lot that they did, but it's also got quite a bit that they did not contain. And we find, too, that throughout the epistle, the author stresses the continues and flow between the Old Testament revelation and the new faith in Christ, while emphasizing the superiority of both Christ and his new covenant, using such words as better and perfect and heavenly. By so doing, he assures the Jewish Christians of the biblical heritage contained in the new covenant. The Hebrews contained 29 direct quotations from and 53 clear allusions to the Old Testament. And he challenges them to run with endurance the race that is set before them, even as their Jewish ancestors had done. And the style of the epistle is one of encouragement, comfort, and warning. The book leads one from superficial thinking to profound depths concerning the person and work of Christ. Its argument is the superiority and finality of Christianity. Christine is the high priestly ministry of Christ in behalf of believers. Now, that's letting you and I know a little something about this book before we get into it. But as of this evening, God willing, we will be going in to the first chapter of Hebrews. Now, this first chapter is not a long chapter. In fact, it is only 14 verses. In fact, the first two are kind of short. The first one is 14, and the second one is 18. And, you know, it's going to be a little while before we get into long chapters. But we'll find out a whole lot about the things that are going on. Now, I'm going to stop here for this morning. We'll get into Hebrews this evening. Now, I pray that all of you be with me as we get into it, so that we don't miss out on anything. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close your word, I thank you for the word, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for the saints, wherever they are in the world. We know they're scattered all over. May the Holy Spirit keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. Father, I pray for Israel in our land. I pray that we both have peace and that both will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Father, I pray for all of our nations that they will all one day come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior, and that all of this hatred among nations cease and all come in with the love of Almighty God for each other. Now, Father, I'm praying that those that have brought this evil upon us here in my land, Father, pray that they be removed from office and replaced with those that are yours and that serve you, that love you and love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people in this land, who will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation for which it was founded, that being your word to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray now for those that are with this ministry and those that listen to it. I pray, Father, for them, their health, their safety, and their needs to be taken care of, Father, whatever those needs are. And Father, I pray for all of our families, because we all have family members walking in darkness. May they, Father, by the Holy Spirit, begin to understand that they stand in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will go, Father, from that darkness to the light, the light of Jesus, and repent of their sins and be forgiven, Father, and start their life new so that none be lost. Now, Father, as we separate, be with us through this day. Keep us safe, keep us in health, and bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Walk with the Lord and walk with you.